Congregation, the text for the special baptism service is from Psalm 51, verse 1. Psalm 51, verse 1. To the chief musician, the Psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba, have mercy upon me, O God. According to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. So far. The theme for this morning is the multitude of tender mercy. Again, the multitude of tender mercy. With the help of the Lord, three thoughts. In the first place, the need of that tender mercy. As we know from David, Nathan has come to him and accused him, "Thou art that man, oh, he sinned deeply." The need for tender mercy. Secondly, the prayer for tender mercy. Have mercy upon me, O God. And in the third place, the preaching of the tender mercy. Preaching is preaching also in baptism to all of us. The preaching of that tender mercy. So the multitude of tender mercy, the need for tender mercy, the prayer for tender mercy, and the preaching of tender mercy. Congregation, you have to go to the background story. Because the Bible writes about that. This is a psalm of David when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone in to Bathsheba. So we have to understand something in the background. What happened? You can read about that in 2 Samuel 11. This is a summary of that. David couldn't sleep. It was dark. It was night already. And he got out of his bed. Came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed. See? It was night, and he got out of bed. And he went to the roof of the palace. And he was just wandering around. He couldn't sleep. He must have been thinking about Joab and his army fighting, besieging Rabbah. And he was not there. He was home. And his men were fighting. And he couldn't sleep. He came out of his bed and just walked around on the roof of his palace. And he looked down and around and he saw a very beautiful woman bathing herself. He didn't know her. Never seen her before. No clue. And instead of looking the other way and just forgetting about it, he inquired, "Who is that?" And they told him that she was married to Uriah, one of the captains of the army, and that she was a granddaughter to Ahithophel. And he said, "Get her right now, David. You don't even know her. You don't even have a relationship with her. What are you doing?" And that night, he sinned. He abused her in his authority. No relationship, just so casual. Casual sexuality. which is so normal today. Just for a night. Now let go. Forget about it. Not interested in a relationship. Just the physical part. And so in today's culture, that's even normal. Hopefully not among our young people. Something casual kissing and casual relationship, casual intimacy. Not interested in a relationship. She went home again that night. And not too long later, David got a message that she was expecting something. What do you do? He said, well, let us get Uriah home. Uriah and her husband. So he goes home tonight, that night, to her place, and everyone will think that the baby is hers, is his. So he sent a message to Rabbah, to Joab the general, Uriah is to come home. And he was nice to him. How are you doing, Uriah? So nice, and there's a conversation with this man. How can you do that? Why don't you go home tonight? I'm not going home, he said. I'm not going home. I'm in the army. My men are with me. I am not going home. He didn't. The next day, David said something else. He said, you know, why don't you come over for dinner? And he poured in the wine, one cup after the other, and he got drunk. Uriah got drunk, but he refused yet to go home. So the plan didn't work. So David writes to Joab again. Joab, Uriah is coming here, and put him very close to the wall or so, in a very dangerous place. And if he is in a dangerous place, then withdraw. See, he's by himself, vulnerable. And Joab answers, we'll do that. And Uriah is getting too close to the wall of Rabbah. And they shoot him. Because he's killed. So David killed him, right? David killed him with the sword of the Ammonites. And David thought, it's not over. And after a few weeks of mourning, Bathsheba moved in. That's David. He didn't want to think about it anymore. He was now the legal husband. It was fine. Sinned against Uriah. Killed him. He has lied. He has murdered. He has committed adultery. It's horrible. But I didn't tell you half of it yet. Didn't tell you half of it yet. What is it? He comes to the conclusion of this. Against thee. Thee only have I sinned. And then there's evil in thy sight. It's not a sin against people. It's not the murder itself. It's not the abuse itself. He sinned against God. And Nathan the prophet is coming, right? And he comes with the parable of the ewe lamb. And David gets upset and says, you know, they should be paid back and angry. And you should see the painting of Rembrandt about that. With that finger, thou art that man. And David must confess it. It's true. It's true against thee only have I sinned, done this evil in thy sight. Sin is sin against God, right? Joseph also knew that. When the wife of Potiphar tried to allure him to sin, he said, no. I'm not going to do that against your husband, and especially I'm not going to do this against God. There is none greater in this house than I, neither has he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Have you seen that? Have you seen it, that you have sinned against God? It's not only what you do wrong, against justice, harming people, harming yourself. That's not a point in itself. Nathan said, you have despised the word, the law, sinned against God. And David, through the operation of the Holy Spirit, understood that against God. So this morning I would like to tell you something. You have sinned against God. How can you live? How can you continue on? How can you just wipe your face as if nothing happens? I haven't told you everything yet. It's not only abuse and murder and lying and adultery, not only sin against God. David looks and feels the evil is in his very heart. Right? But he says, it is very hard. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. It's the root. What I did to Uriah and Bathsheba and myself and against God as a cause is not just a mistake. It's not only wrong. It's not only sin against God. It's not something outside of myself that lured me into this. It's not out of the circumstances. Because she should not have been there. Bathsheba should not have been there visibly. And she should not have said, I'm coming. She should have resisted that. But the real thing is, it was in David's very heart. The seeds of sin in his very heart are germinating there. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Our children, the babies baptized, we all are born, conceived in sin. The root is corrupt. Total corruption. And under the right circumstances, I would say the wrong circumstance, people can do anything. Anything. They are evil. Born in sin. And David knew that. And I hope you know it too. That you have no defense anymore. No circumstances you can hide behind, but that you see that you do not only do sin, but that we are sin. David's heart breaks. A prayer for mercy. A prayer for tender mercy. A second thought. So David writes this psalm now after Nathan has come to him, right? It says, how does David feel? You tell me. He feels horrible, right? He feels, I've sinned. I drown, I suffocate, I perish. It's so bad. Can be worse. Sinned against all God's commandments. Not only with my thoughts, with my deeds. Oh, fool that I am. Why? Why would I still pray? There is no hope for me. Is that what he said? Did he say it's beyond hope? Did he say, I leave the church? I close the Bible? I don't pray anymore? Because it's not for me anyway. I'm a real hopeless case. I have sinned too much. Too much. He said, no. Have mercy upon me, O God. According to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. How he starts. So he believes yet in mercy. He yet believes in thy loving kindness. He still believes in the multitude of thy tender mercies. Amazing. Having fallen so deep, being so awful, such an abuser, so vile, such a criminal, absolutely a criminal. And then instead of saying it's too much, it's impossible for me, he yet cries. He sees an opening. He sees an opening. Have mercy upon me. Want to go over a few of those words? Mercy. In the Hebrew, Hana, often translated as grace. Think of Johanna and Johannes. Hana. Think of Hananya, all the same root, Hanan, grace. That's a word that's used of receiving grace in someone's sight. David found grace in the eyes of Saul. Someone in a exalted higher position looking down and someone finds grace. May I find free and sovereign grace. May I receive mercy from a high God to such a low person. Have mercy out of free and sovereign grace. Have mercy upon me, O God. He prays for that. He prays according to thy loving kindness. Our forefathers had a hard time translating the word. And Wycliffe said, let us make a new word. Just combine two things. Love and kindness. And faithfulness is also in there. loving kindness, the combined two words, trying to cover the deep meaning in the original language. Loving kindness. David saw it. He saw his vile sins. He really understood it. He had a broken heart. He saw he was conceived and born in sin. Against thee only have I sinned, that is evil in thy sight. He knew that. Against thee only. And yet, Lord, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. See that? He doesn't say, according to thy mercy. He says, thy tender mercy. He does not say tender mercy. He says, the multitude of thy tender mercy. Yes, the highest thoughts of God and the highest, the best thoughts of God. No hard thoughts of him. Although he is so deep, so hell-worthy, so corrupt in nature, the lowest place, yet faith is given. And he believes in God's mercy, in God's loving kindness, in his tender mercies. You know, I go back to 2 Samuel 12, verse 13. For thou didst it secretly, Nathan said, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. A consequence of David. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. That's Psalm 51. And Nathan said unto David, I can hardly believe this. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord has also put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. So the Lord came over. And David confessed his sin, and the Lord says, I won't do it. I won't kill you. There is forgiveness. See that? So David's prayer is, O Lord, wash me thoroughly from my sin. Cleanse me, Lord. I am so polluted. I'm so dirty. Lord, take it away. Hide thy face from my sin. Such a deep yearning to have it right with God. Not only being delivered from the consequences of sin, but to have God's favor restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Amazing. He knows it. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation. 14. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, that refers to Uriah, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. So David received a broken heart and a contrite spirit was the work of God. And he prayed. Brings the last thought, the preaching of it. We had baptism this morning, all right? And it was just a little water on the forehead of those children. But a little water points to the tender mercies of God, points to his loving kindness and the multitude, there's only a few drops, but it refers to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Tender mercies, there's a word there, I forgot about that. Referring to the womb. You feel it in your stomach. Tender mercies. You just move with compassion. And so he says, Lord, be moved with compassion according to thy tender mercies, those feelings of compassion. You know, baptism refers to that. It exalts God and it shows something of the Lord Jesus Christ. Want me to mention another text from Luke 1? The see the opposite. And the angel answered to Mary, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. So different. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. The Lord Jesus is an offspring of this David. This David. And an offspring of this Bathsheba. This sin was horrible. But the other child they got, the forefather of the Lord Jesus Christ, not born in sin, given by God through his tender mercies, that holy thing. That's what holy baptism points to the Lord Jesus Christ. God was so moved with compassion that he gave his only Son in the flesh, in the body, to do it all over. To be the substitute for his church. To do it right. To be holy. To be obedient. To not do anything of those things, not the least of it. He knew no sin. He knew no sin, but he was made to be sin for us, that so sinners may become a righteousness of God in him. Do you seek the loving kindness, the tender mercies, the mercy of the Lord in him? There's no other way. There's no other name given among men by whom we must be saved. There's no other one. You need that Savior, Jesus Christ, who came to seek and to save them that are lost. Even so lost as David. Can you believe it? This is incredible. This is beyond our imagination. How can God do that? To save such a wretch like him. But that is the hope for those who get to know themselves. And they become so vile and so guilty. Against the only have I sinned. And they don't only see the sins, they see against whom they have sinned and how deep it's rooted in their own hearts. And they cry to be cleansed with hyssop. Blot out my transgressions. May I be healed and clean from my sins. Such a desire to be whole and restored into that joy of his salvation. I'm going to quote a few texts from the Bible. Just showing you that it's not just an isolated text about multitude of tender mercies. It's not rare in the Bible. It's everywhere. I want to show you. And may God remember those hopeless cases this morning. Those who say, me, I'm the chief of the sinners in this church. Because the Lord knows everything. Those hopeless cases, ready to give up. May you hear it. From Daniel 9. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. O my God, incline thine ear and hear, open thine eyes and behold our desolations and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousnesses, but for thy great mercies. Not our righteousnesses, but thy great mercies. Micah 7. Who is a God like unto thee? Do you know another one? Anyone comparing to this God? Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passes by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, but he delighteth in mercy. The Lord loves to forgive. He delights in mercy. David knew that. Or Ephesians 1. Talking about election to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he has abounded toward us. Abounding grace. You know, there's enough. The greatest of the sinners can yet be saved. There's so much, plenteous of mercy, the multitude of thy tender mercies. Baptism, point to that. Psalm 69. But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time, O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me in truth of thy salvation. See, again, multitude of thy mercy, hear me. It's his mercy, one-sided. Hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Psalm 69, verse 16. Last one. Isaiah 63. There's a prayer in my heart right now. That the Lord may reach out to those hopeless cases. Broken, humbled to the dust. I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord has bestowed on us and the great goodness towards the house of Israel, which he has bestowed on them according to his mercies. and according to the multitude of his loving kindnesses. Loving kindness in plural, even. Loving kindnesses. And then the multitude of thy loving kindnesses. I would say, read this psalm over a few times this afternoon and ask the Lord to apply it. It's a precious place. And then the Lord receives all the glory. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, not our sacrifices, no, no. Else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering, not our offerings, it's not working. The sacrifice of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. The good in thy good pleasure unto Zion, build thou the walls of Jerusalem, so depending upon the Lord, then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifice of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. In the Lord Jesus Christ, God being pleased with that. He's not pleased with his people in himself. He's not pleased with David. He's not. But the Father is so pleased with the life and the sacrifice and the death of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, there's an ocean. What our forefathers said, one drop of that blood is sufficient for 1,000 worlds. What do you think of God? What's your view of him? What's your thought? High thought is good. Holy thoughts, you can't have enough holy thoughts of God. He is holier than you can think. But he's also better, you can think. There's more loving kindness in him than you can imagine. And what will it be to have heard about that and despise it? And then to go to hell. And then, oh, would I? And it's too late. It's not too late yet. Have mercy upon me. O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. And so that as a people that is cleansed and purged from all their sins, they have no guilt left. No sin left. They are forgiven. Everything forgiven. Because one is on the other. Everything is forgiven. Or nothing. Seek the Lord. Someday it will be too late. Amen. O Lord, may it please thee to bless thy word, especially to those hardened of heart, living in sin, addicted to sin. Maybe they've heard their names and say, I'm like that. O Lord, may they be given to repent, break the hearts, and cause them to flee, not away from the Lord, but unto the Lord. Be mindful of those broken-hearted ones. Oh, they wonder, is my heart broken enough? They can't pay with that. They don't qualify with it either. But they cannot deny that they miss the Lord. Oh, Lord, we ask thee, remember that missing people. Cause them to find a Savior in the Word. Graciously forgive all the shortcomings, and bless thy word. Bring us also safely back home and back to thy house. In Jesus' name alone, amen.